Welcome. You're listening to Manisha Bluntschli of Limbic Light Podcasts, ready to share with you my most valuable insights and tips gathered after 40 years' experience working as an acupuncturist, herbalist, and light therapist. You can expect to grow your knowledge on topics such as innovative light therapies, natural super substances, and more to help you achieve your greatest asset, your health. Hello, everyone, and I am back answering a request from somebody who sent me a message. And this question is all about spleen qi deficiency. Now, I have worked as an acupuncturist and Chinese herbal medicine practitioner for, goodness, maybe 40 years or so. And it's a whole different system when you look at Chinese medicine. So I was asked this question and I'd like to answer it for you. So what I'll be covering in this short podcast is a little bit about the spleen in Chinese medicine, what it controls, what its functions are, and what happens, what you would expect to see if the qi of the spleen becomes deficient. And then I'll be looking at particular things, including foods and activities that can weaken the spleen, then foods that will hurt the spleen, and then foods and also herbs that can strengthen the spleen. Okay, so I will start by letting you know that when I studied Chinese medicine a long time ago, I have a clear recollection of my lecturer who I really admired. I think he was spot on, had a lot of respect for him. He advised us all, because some of us who were studying came from a medical background. Some of us were nurses or had been in a medical field before. And he told us, now, when you're studying Chinese medicine, what I want you to do, the best way to learn is to throw all your prior knowledge out the door. So everything that you've learnt in modern medicine is no longer relevant. It's a completely different system of seeing the body, seeing the whole entity, the whole being, and to try to fit in the Chinese medicine to make it coalesce with the Western medicine, it just does not fit together. Many people have attempted, myself included, to try to correlate what the spleen function might mean in Western medicine terms, or the kidney function, what it might mean. And to a certain degree, I've been able to do that. But it works better if we have a look at this Chinese medicine system as a completely different perspective and system. So I just wanted to start with that note. Okay, so my client asked me, can you please inform me a little bit about the spleen? What can be done if the spleen's out? So there are lots of simple things. So let's start off with the actual spleen. If you were to look at it in the Western medicine, it is an organ. It's a large organ that's filled with blood, and it's located on the left side under the ribs. But in Chinese medicine, it's a slightly different system. So when we're looking at the spleen in Chinese medicine, we're saying that it's responsible for the breakdown of food. It basically breaks down into very, very small particles all the food that we might be ingesting. And so we say it's in control of the transformation of food into energy. The spleen in Chinese medicine is also known to be the producer of blood. So probably we could say the two major roles would be digestion and the formation of blood. Now, spleen qi deficiency, qi basically means energy, and every organ that's in our body can become deficient, either in blood or qi or yang or yin. But a spleen qi deficiency basically means that the energy of the spleen is not functioning to its par. It's a little bit below what it should be. And some of the signs you might expect to see if you're actually in this category is that you might have bloating. There's bloating in lots of different places in the body, but specifically bloating in the gastric middle part of your body. I'm going to make reference here. In Chinese medicine, we say that there can be bloating or edema. Edema is a type of fluid swelling, which can occur in the upper jowl, which is the upper part of the body, the middle jowl, which is the middle section, or the lower jowl, which is the lower part from the pelvis down, all the legs. So when we have bloating in the middle part of the body, we say that the spleen is under-functioning, the spleen energy is weak. If we have bloating or swelling in the upper part of our body, particularly our face, neck and face, we say that the lungs are qi deficient. If we have swelling in the legs, which often I see that in my clinic, people come in and they have huge swollen legs, just the blood and the qi is not moving through that area, then we say it's a kidney deficiency. Now, I'll try to keep this simple, but I'm just on the topic of edema and swelling. So we're focused on the middle part of the body. Having an engorged tummy, abdomen is usually a sign that the spleen is deficient. There's lots of other digestive symptoms that you might expect to see if your spleen is deficient. And one of them is something called borborygmus. And I love that word. It's such an unusual long word. And all it means is gurgling of the guts. And so I know somebody quite well who has this problem. And when I'm with him, often I'll hear quite audibly the sound of bubbling or gurgling. And when you've experienced that, I've had it at different times in my life, it's almost like there's bubbles of water going through your digestive tract. So that's what borborygmus is, and it's a sign of spleen deficiency. Often people with a low spleen energy are also going to have a low appetite. They're not going to feel very hungry. They generally are pretty low in energy, full stop. There can be a slight amount of nausea or just feeling of fullness in the stomach. The stools tend to be loose and undigested. People tend to bruise easily. That's a sign of spleen qi deficiency. And another sign that you might be spleen deficient is having a foggy mind, a type of brain that just finds it hard to focus and concentrate. It's just, I used to have this when I was a bit younger, and I used to describe it that there's like a feeling of cotton wool in my forehead. It's just a haze, a fuzz, a fog that's in my head region, which prevents me from thinking very clearly. I don't have that anymore, fortunately, but they are signs of a spleen qi deficiency. Now, something else that the spleen's responsible for in Chinese medicine, it is responsible for the integrity, you could say, of the muscles to hold things up. That may sound a bit strange, but whenever there's a person who's prone very much to prolapses, it might be vaginal prolapse, it might be rectal, it might be a hernia for men. Any types of prolapses generally are caused in Chinese medicine by a weak spleen, and we nearly always give spleen points to help tonify and strengthen the body's ability to hold things up. Now, if you were to look at a person's tongue who is spleen deficient, and that's one of my favorite tools to be able to get an assessment on a person according to Chinese medicine. The tongue differential diagnosis is very commonly used in Chinese medicine. If you were to look at a person's tongue, the first thing you would probably see in a person with spleen deficiency is that they have what I would call tooth marks. Tooth marks is basically, if you look at the sides of the tongue, there's indentations that they go in and out on the sides of the tongue. And they can be quite pronounced, like a wavy edge to the edge of the tongue. This is nearly always a sign that there's a spleen qi deficiency. Now, sometimes a spleen deficiency can cause what we call dampness in the body. I don't want to get too complex here, but they very often come together. A dampness, which is, if I was to try to translate that into a Western medical thing, and I probably shouldn't be doing this after the spiel that I gave you at the beginning, but it's a type of congestion. It's a heaviness. It's basically congestion. So if there is this dampness, you're going to see on the tongue a thick coat. And the thick coat might be white or it might be slightly yellowish in colour. And I won't go into that too much, what that all means, but I just wanted to give you an idea. If you have a thick coat, either white or slightly yellow, and definitely if you've got these serrations, these big tooth marks on the side of your body or of your tongue, then you're likely to be struggling with some signs of spleen qi deficiency. If you were inclined to take your pulse, now this is an area, pulse diagnosis, which is used very much in Chinese medicine, it's quite specific and it's quite advanced, and it's not always easy to pick up these different qualities of pulses. But if you were to give it a go and to put your fingers, it's usually three fingers, just on the radial artery, which is underneath at the wrist, underneath the thumb side, you would feel something that we call slippery pulse. There's all sorts of different descriptions for pulses. There's wiry, there's choppy, there's slippery, there's thin, there's weak. So slippery, as you could imagine, it would be like feeling pearls underneath your fingers, someone pulling through pearls. So it has a nice slippery, full feeling. And that's usually a sign that there's a spleen deficiency. And I just wanted to give you a little story here. With pregnant women, they're naturally prone to have a little bit more dampness in their body, which will also cause that slippery pulse. And sometimes their spleen energy can go down. But if you feel in a young woman a very slippery pulse, either she has dampness with spleen deficiency or she could be pregnant. And in the early days, when I used the pulse a whole lot more than I do now, I tend to have a preference now for reading the tongue. But I would sometimes pick up this very slippery pulse. And once I did say to a woman, "Could you be pregnant? Your pulse is very slippery." And at that time, she didn't actually know she was pregnant, but I found out later on that she was actually indeed pregnant. Okay, so moving on about the spleen. So why would your spleen become deficient? Now, of course, we all have constitutional tendencies in our body where we tend to go weak. If we're working too hard, or if we're extending ourselves too much, then it will hit our weaker constitutional places. And so if you have a general constitutional weakness in the digestion area, in the spleen, that's where it's going to happen first, when you're under strain and stress and a lot of hard work. However, there are certain things that will definitely weaken the spleen, and I wanted to let you know what they are. So first of all, because Chinese medicine is very comprehensive, it's a very wholesome type of philosophy to medicine. They don't isolate just physical things to affect our body, but they also look at emotions and also certain weather conditions. So let's tackle those first, emotions. So the typical emotion that you would be having a lot of that would weaken the spleen energy would be worry. Worry is one of the worst things for the spleen energy. And the other thing is basically thinking too much. So it's that energy of going over and over and over in your mind about a particular issue. It's repetitive. So this particular type of mental activity, and you could call it an emotion, the worry, is going to weaken the spleen. And as well as that, If you tend to be a person who analyzes and thinks a lot, or even studies a lot, then your spleen can become weakened. It's again that activity of thinking, so much energy up in the head. It can weaken the spleen energy. And I have to say that I often notice that people who like smoking lots of weed, marijuana, whatever you want to call it, tend to get weakened spleens. And I think one of the reasons why this happens is because there's so much activity that starts to happen in their mind. They might quite like it because they become very imaginative and they go off in tangents in their mind and see and think things. But for the body, if you're doing that really frequently, it's actually going to weaken the spleen energy. And often you'll see people who do smoke a lot of marijuana or pot, they'll develop these spleen deficient physical signs. So there's that. Now, let's have a look. I mentioned environmental conditions or weather conditions. So every organ in Chinese medicine has a correlating weather pattern or weather type of energy which affects that organ. And in Chinese medicine, it's the earth that affects the spleen. Well, you could say the spleen is in the earth element. But whenever you're exposed to excessive dampness, this is the element that actually weakens the spleen qi energy. And I've seen it when I've been to Darwin, that's a city in the far north of Western Australia, and also in the tropics. In some tropical areas in Queensland in Australia, you'll have people who are exposed to excessive dampness. And there's a little saying that there's the tropical tropos. I'm not sure if I'm actually saying that correctly, but basically there tends to be a type of mental state that comes along with that excessive damp humidity of the tropics. So that is the element that will weaken the spleen, is excessive dampness. And if you're camping and sleeping on the ground continuously, and you're continuously exposed to a lot of dampness in that area too, you might expect that the spleen might go down a little bit. Now, what about foods and drinks? Well, there's a couple of things that really tend to weaken the spleen energy, and that is cold, icy things, like drinks that are very cold, they're chilled, or foods that are very chilled and very cold. Also, excessive raw food. And this is a bit controversial because there's the whole movement of raw veganism or just raw food diet. And in Chinese medicine, we say that the spleen needs to give the fire to break down these raw foods. When you cook food or even slightly warm them, you're pre-digesting them in a sense so that the body can take them in and break them down and digest them more easily. But if you're taking a lot of raw food into your diet, and especially if it's cold raw food, the spleen is going to be always asked to work extra hard. And after a while, the spleen's going to get tired and deficient. So being on a raw food diet or eating lots of raw food can weaken the spleen. And there's a couple of other types of foods that will also weaken the spleen. And one of them is sweet foods. And interestingly, I didn't actually say this earlier, in a weak spleen condition, people are going to have sugar cravings. They're really going to want to eat lots of sweet things. But the irony of it is that those sweet things makes their spleen deficiency actually worse. So too much sweets is going to harm the spleen qi. And the other thing is having excessive oily foods. Now, it's okay to eat oily foods, particularly the really good ones in nuts and avocados and olive oil. But if you have a tendency to have a spleen deficiency, or you're having really lots and lots of oily foods, particularly cooked fried foods or any sorts of very oily foods, the spleen after a while is going to start to get tired and deficient. So it needs to be managed wisely. Now, I'm going to talk in a little while about what are some of the spices and foods that can actually help the spleen. So if you love your oils, and I'm all for them because I think they nourish our nervous system so well, then maybe you can consider mixing those oils with some of these spices or some of the foods that are particularly good for the spleen. So I've got a list here. It's the fairly short list of foods that actually hurt the spleen. And I wanted to just give them to you. Now, when I say this, I'm not going to be telling you go off these, all of them. That's not my style. But what you might consider is to ask yourself and check yourself out, could I be a little bit spleen deficient? And if you are, then I would say go easy on these particular foods. Okay, so dairy, wheat, cold drinks, which I already mentioned, fruit juice. Fruit juice is just like a sugar hit. It's so filled with sugar. Even the fruit juice that you will make, for example, a cold pressed, say, apple and pear juice or with banana, you're going to get a really big hit of sugar there. So any fruit juice is going to damage the spleen. If you have lots of it, it doesn't matter if you have a little bit here and there. But if you're already weak in the spleen, then I would recommend no fruit juice. Processed foods, refined flour, pastry, pasta, and bread. Cold raw foods, as I mentioned before. Refined sugar and sugar substitutes. Coffee and alcohol. Deep fried foods, peanuts and peanut paste, or peanut butter as it's known in America. And on this list, I've also got bananas and avocado. Now, I'll just put a question mark after that because I think both of those are fantastic. Bananas are very sweet, so I would be definitely careful with bananas. And avocados, I guess because of their nature of oiliness, they do tend to have an oily effect on our body. But it's such a good superfood, I consider, the avocado, that if you just have it in moderation and your spleen is down, I think it doesn't really matter. So I'm going to mention now some of the foods that are particularly good for the spleen that's going to have a nourishing, strengthening effect on your spleen. So let's have a look. We've got rice. We've got millet. We've got cooked foods. And in my training, I was always told that orange vegetables are particularly good for the spleen. So you can think of carrots, sweet potatoes, even pumpkins. Pumpkins are a little bit sweet, but they all do tend to have a good, helpful effect on the spleen energy. So we've got a few grains here, brown rice, barley, and amaranth, and rye and oats are all known to be beneficial for the spleen, as are the legumes, kidney beans, aduki beans. Aduki beans are those tiny little red beans. They look a little bit like a mung bean size, but they're actually red. Aduki beans and lentils. A small amount of lean organic meat, poultry or fish. Lemon juice is particularly good. Sesame seeds, pumpkin seeds, and sunflower seeds, seaweed and kelp, green tea, jasmine tea, raspberry leaf tea, and chai tea. Also in the fruits, raspberries, peaches, strawberry, and cherries are particularly good for the spleen, as are the nuts, walnut, chestnuts, pine nuts, and pistachios. Okay, let's have a look at some of the spices. And I love spices. You can put spices in so much of your food that just helps basically your spleen have a more effective action. In fact, in the morning when I have my hot raw cacao drink, I nearly invariably put some of these spices in. I'll just tell you what's in mine. My favorites are nutmeg, cinnamon, also some turmeric, and cardamom, and of course ginger. I love ginger. So they are indeed some of the spices that help the spleen chi energy. There's black pepper, cinnamon, cloves, dill, fennel, garlic, ginger, peppermint, rosemary, sage, turmeric, thyme, horseradish, cayenne, and nutmeg. Now, they're all fantastic for helping the spleen qi. So if you have a tendency to this weakness of your spleen energy, you can easily adapt these wonderful spices and herbs into your cooking, into your soups, into even your hot drinks, and you'll be continuously topping up and strengthening your spleen. In Chinese medicine, they have specific herbs that address spleen qi deficiency. I'm going to name some of them. You may be familiar with some of them. So particularly if you come from a herbalist background, some of these Chinese herbs have made it into popularity in the Western world. So you may have heard of some of them. So let me tell you, Codenopsis is basically in Chinese medicine. It's called Dung Shen, not Dunshen. So it's spelled D-A-N-G-S-H-E-N, Dunshen, which is quite different from the Dunshen, which is D-A-N-S-H-E-N. So Dunshen with a G is very good for the spleen energy. Huang Qi, which is astragalus. And I am sure you've heard of that. It's made a big popularity mark in the herbal world, in the Western world. Astragalus strengthens the qi of both the spleen and also the lungs, and that's why it's considered a really good immune system tonic. Atractalodes, which is baizhu, spelt B-A-I-Z-H-U. And then this one, fuling. Fuling spelt F-U-L-I-N-G. Its Latin name is heolin, spelled H-O-E-L-E-N. Dioscorea, which is a type of yam. It's also known as shan yao. And shan yao is spelled S-H-A-N-Y-A-O. Now, there's a few others, like lotus seed and a certain type of pearl barley. And even jujuba, which is datsao, that's actually a type of Chinese date. And one of my favorites is actually called chen pi, which is citrus peel, but not just any citrus peel. It's usually comes from the mandarin. And I've been known to collect my mandarin peel. We're very fortunate to have a mandarin tree. So whenever I eat the flesh inside, I always keep the peel and I'll heat it up and make a drink out of it. Chen pi, the mandarin peel, is amazing for digestive conditions, not only for digestion, but for so many other things, particularly immune related. So anyway, there they are, a few of the different herbs that are used in Chinese medicine. So I hope this satisfies a little bit of interest. And if you tend to have digestive problems, you might like to have a look at some of these principles, some of the dietary recommendations and things not to have, and also about how you think in your mind, how much you think, how often you think, how much you worry. So sometimes I have a little practice that I just tell myself, stop it. Stop it, Manisha. And I do that because if I get a bit concerned about something, and it's quite easy to go over and over a particular problem or maybe someone, an experience who's upset us recently, and we might have a tendency to keep thinking about that. That is going to damage the spleen, the digestive energy. So I just tell myself, stop it. I allow myself maybe a few minutes to ruminate, but then that's enough. I'll be disciplined and I'll just tell myself to stop thinking about that. So anyway, there you go, spleen qi deficiency. And please remember, if you have any questions that you would like to ask me, that you'd like me to make a small podcast on, please do send me a little message. I'll put a link in the show notes so that you can reach out to me and let me know what you'd like to know about. Okay, thanks and bye for now. You've been listening to Manisha Blunchley of Limbic Light Podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please pass on these podcasts to anyone you think may benefit. And please, I ask you to subscribe to being notified about upcoming news, releases, and special offers in the link below in the show notes. Thank you so much, and may the Force be with you.